Bibles this morning, let's go to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. We're going to read the first 15 verses of the chapter this morning. I tell you, I'm just glad to gather in God's house and worship this morning. I praise God for that. You know, the house of God is a place where you go to worship. And I'm glad we can come to a church where we can be free to worship. You know, I tell you, and this is a freedom that was bought. Folks, this thing wasn't cheap. When you gather into the house of God to worship, this thing didn't come cheap. It cost God His only Son to give you and I this privilege that we have to gather and worship here this morning. And I don't want us to ever take for granted the awesome privilege that we have to gather and worship God and to see folks raise hands and to see some with tears in their eyes and some folks with amens and hallelujahs. Folks, there are a lot of places that would die to have what you and I have here this morning. And I tell you what, let's don't let it go. Let's keep worshiping and praising and honoring God. And God will keep visiting with us every week. And we'll keep seeing people saved. We'll keep seeing lives changed. We'll keep seeing our church grow. We'll keep seeing God move if we'll just keep hanging on to that which God has blessed us with. And it's good to see y'all, Alex. It's good to have Brother Delmer back with us. He was with us Wednesday night. But he had an issue Wednesday night, and God dealt with it, and he's back with us on Sunday, and looks just as good as he's ever looked when he came in Wednesday. And I thank God, and I tell you, boy, it's good to know that God is still the great physician. God can still hear, and it's good to have Buck and Mary back with us this morning. And she's been out for a little while, had to go down to Charlotte in the hospital and find a hole in her heart, and was about yay big when they found it on the first day. By the time the second day come along, it wasn't even as big enough to stick a pinhole in. And we praise God for there's still a great physician, is there not? There's still a balm in Gilead this morning. I thank God that there is. And like I say, it's good to have two friends of mine, Tom and Claire England, back with us this morning. And they're from Hampton, Tennessee, and members of a local Free Will Baptist Church there. I've known their pastor for years, and they're always with us at camp meeting time in September. And they've come to join with us this morning. And I thank God for y'all being here. And I pray that it's been a blessing for you to be here already this morning, and thank you all so much for being here. Would you stand this morning as we honor the reading of God's holy word, Genesis chapter 43. I want to begin reading the first 15 verses of the chapter. The Bible says, "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel," that's Jacob, "Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked to straitly of our state, and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand. And Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, has already manifested himself this morning. So, God, I know with your Spirit being here, Lord, the Bible tells me that there's liberty. So, God, I know there's liberty to preach this morning. Now, God, I need wisdom today, and I need an unction and an anointing, Father, if I'm going to preach in any power. God, I pray, Lord, that you might forgive me my sins, and Lord, and my iniquities where I've fallen short of your glory, God, that I'll do nothing that would hinder from being your mouthpiece this morning. God, I pray that you just search every heart. God, I pray, Father, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they've never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God, I pray today, God, that your Spirit would meet with them. God, reach down to them, Lord, I pray, and shake them at their core. God, that I pray that they might come to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And I pray, Father, you might help us as your children this morning, Father. Those of us who stand this morning dealing with issues in our lives, God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you'll give us confidence, Lord, that we can be overcomers through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for these that are here today. Thank you for their willingness to worship and praise and glorify you. God, I know there's been many, Lord, just in this past week that struggled with sickness and illness and in the past few weeks, God. Lord, I thank you that you're still a great physician and you still brought them forth back into your house today. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. In our text today, what I've read, we find what I call Jacob's seven laws of problem management. Jacob's seven laws of problem management. Here's how Jacob dealt with his problems. Number one, his first rule was never deal with today what can be successfully put off until tomorrow. Number two, no problem can be possibly as bad as it seems. Number three, honesty is never the best policy. Even though the Bible says in Proverbs 12 and 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Number four, Jacob would remember to always to look out for his own interests first. Number five, as much as possible, see that blame is shifted to others for any problem. Number six, if our best efforts fail to solve the problem, then throw money at it. That's what our government does, I believe, isn't it? If our best efforts fail, throw a pile of money at it, call it a bailout. That's all right. Number seven, when all other avenues fail, trust God. When all other avenues fail, trust God. And these are the seven laws of problem management that you see in this chapter that we just read that Jacob used. And he used all seven of these, by the way. And I'm sure that there's not a one among us who's not at one time felt like Jacob did in this chapter. The way that Jacob felt in this chapter was simply that everything and everybody is against me. And there's never a time when you and I probably can look back and say that this has never happened to us. You know, Jacob had encountered God many times throughout his life. And here was Jacob's prime opportunity to turn his family's attention back unto God. Yet it appears that Jacob still had trouble walking by faith. Jacob wrestled constantly with a negative outlook on life. You ever been around folks like that? No matter what happens, whether good, I mean, God could just dump it right into the lap and they'd find something negative to say about it. And that's exactly the attitude that Jacob had. Jacob not only wrestled with that negative outlook, but as head of his family, he should have been leading them spiritually and saying things like, now boys, talking to his sons, you know, things look bad now, but we have to trust in God's promises. Let's get on our knees and pray for the safety of Benjamin as y'all make your return trip back into Egypt. Let's also pray for Simeon's release from Pharaoh's prison. You know, guys, there's a reason that this money is back in our sacks, and there's a reason that God wants you and I to return unto Egypt. You know, we don't have the answers yet, but we can trust our God. You know, that's what he should have been saying. But you don't read any of that in the Word of God. And instead, Jacob reacted out of doubt and he reacted out of fear. And he said this. He said, forget it. Benjamin's not going, and that's final. Well, I wonder, had Jacob forgotten that he once wrestled with God and received a limp because of his stubbornness? Now, it'd be easy for you and I to read this story this morning and, knowing how it ends, to have the attitude that would say, well, if it were me, I wouldn't have done that. If it were me, I wouldn't have acted like Jacob. If it were me, I would have trusted God. It's easy to say that, but would you really? Would you really? Would you really not act like Jacob? Because what about the last time you had difficulty? Did you trust God? Did you have a prayer on your lips that said, you know what? God, I understand this is a difficult situation. God, I understand that these are problems. God, I understand I don't know why this is going on. But God, I do know one thing. You've never failed me yet. I have your word to prove it. And God, I'm simply just going to walk by faith and trust you. Did you say that? Because it's easy to condemn someone when we can see the end of it. But what about when we're in the middle of it and we don't know what the end is going to be like? Can we say then, God, you know what? I'm just going to trust you anyway. Well, you think about that this morning. Because you know what? Doubt and fear are barriers in our lives. And some of you this morning probably have allowed fear to keep you from trusting Christ to be saved. Maybe you're afraid of what somebody thinks of you. Or what somebody would think of you if you'd get saved. Maybe you're afraid of what you would have to sacrifice or what you'd have to give up if you came unto Jesus. Or maybe you're afraid that you can't live it. I had a lady when I was pastoring in Florida that came up to me and said, preacher, you know what? This living for Jesus. And she was in her 70s at this time. And she was a wife of one of the officers in the church. And she came unto me and she said, preacher, she said, I'll tell you, she said, living this thing like you preach is hard to do. Honest to goodness, what she told me. She's since gone on to be with the Lord. She passed away a few years ago. But she said, man, she said, I'll tell you what. She said, especially, you know, this stuff's hard. But you know, Jesus never said it was hard to live for him. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what makes it hard? The old flesh and the old devil and the old world. That's what makes it hard. But if you walk with Jesus and walk by faith and not by sight, you can live victorious in this life. But you know what? Some are afraid to step out on faith. Some are afraid to follow through with what you know that God is leading you to do. Maybe you're afraid to share your faith. You know, at times it's difficult to get into a crowd of unbelievers. And they're all mucking it up. And you hear ungodly language coming out of them. And you hear, like Jake said the other day, the dirty jokes. And you hear things like that. It's difficult to stand in that situation sometimes and be the only one that's born again and all of a sudden begin to share your faith. I'll tell you right now, buddy, it shuts it all up when you do. It'll put a say, if you don't want to hear it, just start praising God in the middle of it. Heard a story of a preacher. And I could tell you his name if I wanted to, but he told a story of this. He said he had a bunch of guys that invited him to go hunting one year. And so he took a trip up to another state and he went hunting. And he said the whole time he was on that bus going down to go hunting with them, they would tell the dirty jokes and they would curse and they'd raise all kinds of Cain and everything. And they told him up front. They said, now, preacher, you know, we understand you're a preacher and all, but hey, you know, we're just going to be who we are. We're going to talk like we always do. And if that's a problem with you, preacher, it's just, you know, too bad. And he said, okay. He said, that's fine. He said, but I want it to go the other way around as well. He said, because I'm going to say whatever it is I want to say, and I'm going to act just the same way that I act everywhere that I go. They said, okay, preacher, works just fine. Said they got out there on up in the tree stand one day, and said there was a deer come walking by, and one of those old boys, them center boys of his that was out there hunting, had that sight right on that deer, and all of a sudden that preacher sitting there went, ah, hallelujah. Deer shot off out of there, and he looked over and he said, preacher, what are you doing? He said, I told you, I'm just going to act myself. He said, if y'all can do what you want to anytime you want to, he said, I'm going to do what I want to anytime that I want to. And he said, we stayed out there for days, and when we come back, he said, I was the only one that shot a deer.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, guys, you can be victorious. You can enjoy this thing called salvation. But you know what we got to do, guys? We've got to get rid of doubt. The devil loves to sow seeds of doubt. And we've got to get rid of doubt. Do you realize that one of the most common commands in the Word of God is a two-word little old command, fear not. That's one of the most common commands in the Word of God. Now, in this series, we've been doing this series on the importance of a steadfast faith. And in this series, I've instructed you out of the Word of God on how to break free from generational curses. I've instructed you on how to live like roses among the thorns of life. I've instructed you on how to triumph in the midst of shattered dreams. I've instructed you on how to have victory over temptation. I've instructed you on how to overcome the obstacle of disappointment in your life. I've instructed you on how to recognize opportunity when God sends it your way. I've instructed you on how to handle prosperity in a godly manner. I've instructed you on how to rise above what you've been through so that you don't look like what you've been through. And I also instructed you 2 weeks ago on how to throw out the list. Well, today I want you to learn how to conquer doubt. Now, there's not any of you that's been here every Sunday that if you'd follow the principles of these words I give you, that could say this morning, preacher, I can't live victorious. I can't overcome this thing. I can't get past it. You can do this if you'll put what I preach to you into practice. If you'll take the Word of God and the principles of this series and put it into your life, you can overcome all these things that come your way. And by the way, some folks may say, well, this happened years ago. Can I tell you that the Bible said that this type of temptation, this type of things that come against us is common unto all men? We all face these same things. And if you haven't faced them yet, you better buckle up tight because they're on their way. They're coming. And today I want us to look on how to conquer doubt. And the first thing I want you to see this morning by the help of God is if we're going to conquer doubt in our lives, when the enemy comes along and sows seeds of doubt into our soul, how we're going to conquer that is we have to consider the circumstances. We need to consider the circumstances. Now look at the first thing here. Jacob faced a consistent problem. That was one part of his circumstances. He faced a consistent problem. Verse number 1, the famine was sore in the land. Jacob didn't know how long this famine was going to last. Joseph knew how long it was going to last because the dream came to Pharaoh and Joseph was able to interpret the dream. Joseph knew it was going to last 7 years. But Joseph was in Egypt. Jacob was not. And all Jacob could do was look and see that there was a famine. He didn't know how long it was going to last. It had already been there for a couple of years already. It had already been going on for a while. He didn't know when it was going to end. He just knew there was a drought. He just knew that no crops were growing. He just knew that animals were dying. He knew that families couldn't hardly survive. He knew that this thing was going on. And there was no government to come along and offer him a bailout so he could keep going. Folks, all he knew was that there was a consistent problem. And we need to understand some things today. And one thing in particular, I believe the reason why that folks cannot overcome temptation. I believe the reason why people won't overcome shattered dreams. I believe the reason why people walk around looking like what they've been through is because there's a famine in their soul. And it's not a famine of God's presence necessarily. It's not a famine of certain things, but it's a famine of the Word of God. Folks, every principle you need to overcome in life is found in this precious holy book. It's found throughout the book of Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation. And the reason people can't overcome is they don't know the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter number 8 and verse number 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. We'd rather hear from Dr. Phil. We'd rather hear from Oprah's book club. We'd rather hear from the local psychologist. We'd rather hear from our business leaders. We'd rather hear from an ungodly president. We'd rather hear from state leaders. We'd rather hear from all these other folks. But folks, we need to get back to where the Word of God is poured down into our soul, because it's God's Word that's going to get you through. And folks, there's a consistent problem today. the great preacher G. Campbell Morgan had already enjoyed some success as a preacher by the time he was 19 years old. But then he was attacked by doubts about the Bible. There were the writings of various scientists and agnostics during his time that disturbed him. The writings of Charles Darwin, John Tyndall, Herbert Huxley, or Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer. And as he read their books and he began to listen to their debates, Morgan became more and more perplexed about the truth of God's Word. So what did he do? Well, he canceled all of his preaching engagements. And he put all the books in a cupboard. And he locked all the doors. And he went to the bookstore and bought a new Bible. And here's what he said, quote, he said, "I'm no longer sure that this is what my Father claims it to be, the Word of God. But of this I am sure, if it be the Word of God, and if I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul of itself." Well, what was the result? When he come out of the room, he said, quote, right here, with a big exclamation point, he said, "The Bible found me." Let me tell you right now, there's an assurance that G. Campbell Morgan had that by the time he got done, the Word was what it said it was. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's Word shall never pass away. Hallelujah. And folks, there was a consistent problem. And then there was a constrained perception that Jacob had. Another reason why he had so much doubt in his life, because his vision was very narrow. In verse number 2, he looked down there at them boys. He said, "Guys, going back down to Egypt," and look what he said. He said, "Brother Elton," he said, "buy us a little food. Buy us a little food." He didn't have the vision to know. He couldn't see. He didn't know Joseph knew that the famine was going to come already and that for 7 years he had stored it all up. He didn't know those things. All he knew was the famine was all around. But you know what? He didn't have enough vision to go down and say, "Guys, go down there and get what we need and bring it back." He said, "Take a little money and go down there and buy us a little bit of food." And you know what? I believe there's a reason why people can't conquer doubt in their life. It's because their vision isn't big enough. They don't have a broad enough. See, God's not big enough for them yet. Let me tell you something. I serve a God who sits on the throne of glory. Hallelujah. I serve a God who spoke it all into existence. I serve a God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I serve a God who was able to walk on the water. I serve a God who was able to raise the dead to life. I serve a God who was able to take a man as sinful as me and call him to the greatest office in this country, the office of a preacher. I serve a God who loves me with an everlasting love. I'm telling you, my vision of God is His grandeur and majesty. I serve a great and awesome God this morning. Jacob said, "Hey, get on down there and just buy us a little bit of food. Get on down there and buy a little bit of food." You know, that reminds me of a lady in the book of John, chapter 4. The Bible says this. Just listen to me. Don't turn there. But in John chapter 4 and verse number 5, Jesus came to a city of Samaria near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Here he's back at the same spot that Jacob's at right now. And Jacob's well was there. Now you know during this time when Jacob was in famine, that thing was dry. You know it was. Here's Jesus coming back to it now thousands of years later. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the 6th hour. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, 'Give me to drink.'" She, you know, "For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" I like Jesus' answer. Glory to God. So Jesus said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water." I mean, you know what her problem was? Her vision was too small. She came unto him and all she saw was a Jew. She came unto him and all she saw was a natural well. But let me tell you something. We need to get beyond what we see. There's a reason this is the importance of a steadfast faith. faith. Because by faith you don't look with your natural eyes. By faith you don't look in the physical realm. But by faith you look at those things which are not as though they already are. And Jesus came along and wasn't just any ordinary Jew, but this was the Son of God. And he said, woman, if you knew who it was you was talking to, if you knew who it was and what you could get out of him, you'd be asking to get living water. And the Bible said, if you'll ask him this morning, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hey, but you got to raise your vision. You got to extend your vision out a little bit. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at all the things going on around you. God knows them already. He said he knows your needs before you ever ask. And if he knows your needs, he said, I promise to meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Mary knew you had a hole in your heart, darling. But God knew it would come along. And he came by and he said, I promised you that I knew it. I promised you I'd meet it, and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah to God. He can and he will because he said he would. Hey, we got to look beyond it. See, there's a reason of doubt. It's because of a constrained perception. And then there's a conditional pledge. Verses 3 through 5, and I'll hurry. Judah's there. And Jacob said, hey, go on down there and buy us a little bit of food. And Judah said, hey, Dad, we told you, if you're going to send us down there, we got to take Benjamin. There's no other way to get food, Dad. He said, if you don't bring him back, you're not getting anything. Actually, he told him, if you don't bring him back, we'll kill you. That's what he told him. And he said, Dad, we're not going to do it. He said, unless you bring your brother, you'll not see his face. Talking about Joseph. Can I tell you, God has all the provision you need. God has all the grace you need. God has all the peace you need. God has all the joy that you need. God has everything and anything you need. But can I tell you, until you come to him with your brother, until you come unto him with your brother, see, I've got a father. And that father gave his only begotten son. Unless I come unto my father with his son, I'll never see the king. You can pray till you're blue in the face. God help me. God help me. God do this. God do that. Can I be honest with you? If you're not saved, you can pray any prayer you want to pray, save the prayer of repentance, and it don't get no higher than your shoelaces. It don't go anymore. You can live in sin and do all those things and you can pray till you're blue in the face. But if you're walking in open rebellion to God, the Bible said he turns his face from us that he cannot hear us. That's what the Bible says. And folks, unless we come unto him and meet the conditions, what's the conditions? He's got to be present with us. We'll never get anything from our Father unless his Son is present with us. Unless we'll never get in to see the face of the King unless his Son is present. Folks, we must meet the conditions. Now, folks, if we're going to destroy doubt, we've got to consider the circumstances. Secondly, we've got to count the costs. We've got to count the costs. What does doubt do then? What are you losing when you doubt? What do you lose? What happens? Well, number one, it will impair your prudence. In other words, it destroys your common sense. It wipes out wisdom. Judah said unto his father, Judah said in verse number 8, look with me. He said, send the lad with me, we'll arise and go that we may live and not die, both we, thou, and also our little ones. Dad, all you've got to do is send Benjamin. I'll make sure we go down, we'll bring food. Benjamin will survive. I'll survive. You'll survive. Everybody here will survive. He said, no. Where'd the common sense go? Where'd the wisdom go? No, because you won't bring back Benjamin. Well, Dad, let me tell you how this thing's going to work. If I don't go, we'll all die. No common sense. When you doubt, the devil destroys your wisdom. When you doubt, the devil will rob you of sensible decisions. You can't make a rational decision when you're doubting the goodness and power of God. You can't make a rational decision if you're not walking with the Savior. You can't do those things. The Bible said that God would send you and I a comforter. And He said that this comforter, being the Holy Ghost, would lead us into all righteousness. He will guide you and I into the decisions that we need to make. They may not make sense to the world. It may not make sense to somebody around you. It may not make sense to your wife, nor your husband, nor your kids, nor to anybody else around you. But when God is on the throne and God makes the decisions, the Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. You just listen to God, do what God says every time, and God will get you through it all. It destroyed his prudence. Not only did it impair his prudence, but it encumbered his provision. Look at what Judah told him in verse 10. He said, if you hadn't lingered around, we'd already have it by now. You think about that for a second. You know what he's telling Dad? Dad, if you hadn't been dead beating around on this thing, would have made up your mind a long time ago, would have trusted God in the first place, we'd already have the provision we need. Hello? And a lot of times we're dilly-dallying, Brother Don, we're just dilly-dallying around trying to figure out what we should do. And it's as clear as a bell in the Word of God, but we're dilly-dallying around and God's looking at us and saying, make up your mind. But see, they could never get what they needed until they made a decision to go get it. And the longer they deadbeat, the longer they sit there wondering, should I or shouldn't I? Should I go? Should I? Should I take him or should I not? They were starving literally to death. And there are folks that will starve because they won't step out on faith and trust God with what He says. And they'll starve in this life. They'll starve for somebody to love them, knowing that God is a God that has an everlasting love. They'll starve to get some peace and some stability in their life, but yet knowing that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And they'll starve for joy. They can't find where it is to be happy in life, but knowing all along that God said He'll give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. God knowing, you know, walking around with your head in a fog, not knowing where to go, but God's knowing every time that God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of me, and I'll give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. All of those things, but they fail to trust God. And they can't never get what it is that they need. And not only will it impair their prudence and encumber their provision, but folks, doubt exasperates the problem. Doubt exasperates the problem. And I'm not saying the problem's not bad, but I'm saying we've got a great God that takes care of it. But after it's all over with, in verse number 11, Jacob finally listens over to Judah. And he says, well, Judah, he says, if it be so, you know what he's saying? He's saying, Judah, this is the only option I got. I guess we'll do it. God put his back against the wall. He said, either you'll do it or you'll die. Hey, can I just remind you? You can accept Christ or you can die. I mean, that's really about all it boils down to. You can live in victory or you can live defeated. You can enjoy this thing called salvation or you can let the devil run your life in the ground. I mean, it's that simple. And after they explained it to him what they were going to do in verse number 14, he finally says, okay, and it sounds like he's coming around. And he says, all right, I'm just going to trust Almighty God to help me in this thing. But then at the very end of the verse, he says, well, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. All right, God, I'm going to do what you say, but I don't believe it's really going to work, and so I guess I'll just be bereaved. God, I'm going to do what you say, but it's just going to make the problem even worse. I don't have Joseph anymore. I lost Simeon. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I lost Simeon, and now they want to take Benjamin away from me. And God, I know this is the right thing to do, but I know I'm going to lose Benjamin if I do. It's just going to get worse. And I wonder how many folks today, knowing what God tells them is the right thing to do, they refuse to do it and they exasperate the problem. All the time thinking, if I do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Hey, God's not going to exasperate your problem. God's going to solve your problem. And then not only will doubt exasperate the problem, but then doubt will extend the imprisonment. Here's what I'm talking about. Last chapter, them old boys go down to Egypt to get food. And Joseph says, you're spies. Throws them all in prison. They're saying, no, we're not spies, we're not spies. He says, yes, you are. Stay in jail. 3 days they stay in jail. Finally, Joseph has a change of heart, and he gets them all out of jail. And he says, but I'm going to keep this one right here. I'm going to keep Simeon right here with me, and I'm going to keep him in jail. Now, I want y'all to go down and get your brother Benjamin and bring him back out of here. And this old boy ain't getting out of jail until you go and get Benjamin and bring him back. They go on back and they tell Dad, Dad, I hate to tell you, we lost Simeon. And the only way we're going to go to get Simeon is if we take Benjamin and go back. And Jacob says, let him sit there. Let him rot. I'm not sending Benjamin. I'm not sending him. And there's old Simeon sitting there rotting in Pharaoh's prison. Dad has the ability to send Benjamin and get him out of jail. But Dad's too busy doubting. And it keeps extending the imprisonment of Simeon. Do you know that if you walk around with doubt, you're literally in prison? You're imprisoned by the doubts of your life. The devil has sowed seeds of doubt. You've let them root up. And you're wondering whether God's going to come along. You're wondering whether God's going to do what He said He did. You're wondering these things and wondering that. But what if I do this? What if I do that? And all these other things. And you're imprisoned to that doubt. And the longer that you languish in that, it just continually extends your imprisonment. That's exactly what happened. Now, we recognized the circumstance there. We considered it. We counted the cost. Now, how do we conquer? Well, preacher, all right, I understand what doubt's all about. I understand what it'll do to me, but how do I conquer it? Well, first thing you got to do is listen to reason. You've got to listen to reason. In verses 6 through 10, we find Jacob said this. He said, why'd you tell him I had another son for? He's mad. This is Benjamin. This is Joseph's full brother here, full blood brother. And he's already lost Joseph, his favorite, and Benjamin's the other. These are the only two boys he had by the wife that he loved. These were his favorites. And he said, why'd you tell him I had another one for? And they said, Dad, the guy asked us. He asked us if we had another brother at home. We told him. He asked us if you was alive. We told him. But then Judah begins to reason with him. And he says, Dad, if you want Benjamin to survive, if you want Simeon to survive, if you want all of us to survive, if you want this family to survive, if you want to make it through this thing and get by, Dad, you've got to let us go. Judah began to reason with him. Can I remind you, the Bible says this. Stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. You ever hear somebody say, well, I'm just stubborn. That's not anything to brag about. That's something y'all be at the altar repenting over. Because it's as the sin of witchcraft. And Jacob was stubborn. Jacob said, I don't care. Let him die. I don't care. Let him rot in the prison. I don't care. But finally, reason broke through. There's folks today that's not saved because in their mind they're saying, this is going to have to change. That's going to do this. And God says in Isaiah, He says, come now, let us reason together. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, He said, come, I'll make you as white as snow. Aren't you glad God reasoned with you one day? Hallelujah. God came to me and He reasoned with me one day. Look at your life and the mess it is. But you know what? I can fix that. You know what? I can clean it up. You know what? He never told me I'm going to take this, this, and this and put it all together like this. But He said, you know what? If you'll come to me, He said, I'll save you. And I'll wash you. And I'll clean you. He ain't let us reason together. Listen to reason. And then not only listen to reason, learn to sacrifice. Here's the kicker of the whole thing right here. Verses 11 through 14. Jacob said, well, I'm doomed if I don't go. If I don't send him, we're all going to die. He's liable to die if I send him. But he's certainly going to die if I don't send him. And since there's a possibility that he'll die if I do send him, but there's an absolute surety that he will die if I don't, I guess I better just go ahead and send him, but I'm going to do everything I can so that he won't die when I send him. So tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send him a bunch of money and send a bunch of gifts on down there to the old guy, and maybe it won't hurt him when he gets down there. Now, folks, they're in the middle of a famine, and they don't have much. They don't have much food. They don't have much money. They don't have much of anything, but yet he takes what he's got and he says, double the money. And he says, and then give them all of these different things, nuts and honey and myrrh and spice, all these things. He says, give them all of these things and double it all up and take it down there and give it to him. You know what he's doing? He was sacrificing what he needed the most. Because he realized he was sacrificing that which he held the greatest value on, because he realized he needed something more important. And there's some of y'all that still aren't saved this morning because you're hanging on to those things that Jacob had. You're hanging on to this world. You're hanging on to this life. You're hanging on to those friends. You're hanging on to that relationship. You're hanging on to the things down here. And you know what? God is saying, hey, you need to sacrifice those things because I have something you need greater than all of that. And there's Christians today living defeated lives of doubt all over them because they're still hanging on to seeing with this. To looking with this. And trying to figure it out with this. And God says, let every bit of that stuff go because I have something greater that you need. I've got this. Find your answer in this. Folks, you want to conquer doubt in your life? Listen to reason. Learn to sacrifice. And lastly and finally, lean on God. Lean on God. Verse 14. Jacob told him, verse 13, take also your brother, that's Benjamin, and rise, go again unto the man. But he said, hey, take God with you when you go. Take God with you when you go. You got doubts? Take God with you. He'll settle them. You got worries? Take God with you. He'll get rid of them. You got problems? Take God with you. He'll solve them. Jacob said, hey, there's a possibility Benjamin will die when he gets there, but there's less of a possibility he will if God goes with him. Boys, you take God with you. Oh, hallelujah. And he didn't say just take any old God, Brother Jesse. This comes from the Hebrew word. When you look at God Almighty, it comes from two Hebrew words. The first word God is the word El, and the second word Almighty is the word Shaddai. And he's saying take El Shaddai with you. This is the great God of heaven. This is God who created it all. This is God who has the power to do all things. This is God who sits on the throne and sees the world from pole to pole. This is that God. Take that God with you when you go. What problem can't you solve if you take that God with you this morning? What issue do you face that you're in doubt over and it's driving you crazy that couldn't be taken care of if you just take God with you this morning? What is it that you're facing this morning that great, awesome, almighty God can't take care of? Hey, you can defeat doubt in your life. You can conquer it all in your life. Because we have a great and awesome, marvelous, glorious, magnificent God who sits on the throne of glory. And He sees your life and He sees mine. But church, you don't have to be bothered by doubt and fear. You don't have to allow these things to keep you in prison. You don't have to worry and let it drive you crazy. You don't have to. Somebody say, well, I've done that all my life. Well, ain't it time you changed? Ain't it time, however old you are? Ain't it time you got rid of that? It has drove you crazy all your life. Have you liked it? Do you want to just lay around with it, or would you like to get rid of it finally? Would you like to get rid of the fear? Would you like to get rid of the doubt? Would you like to get rid of the pain? Would you like to get rid of the suffering of not knowing what to do and where to go? Would you like to get rid of, I know I want, I don't want a part of it. You have a great, awesome God, and you have all of His Word to where you can rely on. And you can conquer all these things. But the choice is yours this morning. Will you listen to reason this morning? Will you listen to reason? Will you learn to sacrifice it? Get rid of it? Stop trying to figure it out on your own? Stop trying to get man's opinion on it all? Will you sacrifice all of that this morning? And will you just start leaning on God and find your answer in His Word? And say, God, doesn't matter what anybody else says, doesn't matter what the world says, doesn't matter all, I'm going to listen, if nothing else, simply to Your Word only. And any other voice that comes along that doesn't confirm what's in this right here, I'm going to turn aside from it. Whatever comes along, whatever piece of advice I get that does not complement this right here, I'm getting rid of it. I'll not listen to it and I'll not be a part of it. Folks, that's how you get rid of doubt. That's how you get rid of doubt. That's how you walk without fear. That's how you live without worry. Right here. Now you can take it today and you can put those principles into practice. Or you can be like Jacob, stubborn, and say, I've just been this way all my life. Bless God, I'll just die this way. That's a horrible life. Why do you want to live that for? But you can come today and finally be victorious. Would you stand this morning?